with you tonight. Take it and stand up and go to the book of Acts and find chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. We're trusting the Lord tonight to speak through us and speak to us. I believe we ought to be different based on what the Word of God has to say. Not just hearers only, but doers. Amen. Are you in Acts chapter 8? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. I want you to look at the end of verse 27. The Bible said that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. In other words, he was there to participate in a religious ceremony. He was there to do his religious duty. But verse 28 said that as he returned, he sat in his chariot and read the scripture. And if we read the entire text tonight, we would understand that he did not understand what he read. And here's what I want to preach on for a few minutes, if the Lord will help me and if you'll help me. I want to preach on this subject of leaving church lost. And I want to say to you tonight, it is entirely possible that we go to God's house and don't know the God of the house. I'd use a little help preaching tonight. It is entirely feasible that we attend some religious ritual, but we do not know the very one that it's all about. I know who's here tonight. I can smell Baptist a mile away. Amen? I know who's here tonight. But I want to tell you that it is possible, and it happens all over this country, that folks come to church and leave church and never know the God that church is all about. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. God, I lean on you and I trust in you. Lord, I have no ability, I have no worth, I have no wisdom on my own. But oh God, if you'd anoint me tonight, if you'd help me to speak and preach and say what you once said, I'll give you every praise. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but you alone deserve the glory that will come from what's done tonight. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people saying, Amen. You can be seated. Several weeks ago on a Saturday night, I'd been studying, and some of you pastors will bear witness right here. I'd been studying and looking at my Bible for 5 days, and I couldn't get anything that made any sense. I was praying, I was seeking the will of God, couldn't find anything that was just burning in my heart. And so this may hair-lip some of y'all, but there's going to be other things you don't like about me too. Amen? So I did something real spiritual. I got me a mason jar full of sweet tea and a bag of Fritos corn chips and plopped myself down on the couch and watched an hour and a half of the Dukes of Hazzard. I told you that some of y'all wasn't going to like that. I'm sorry, I grew up on Dukes of Hazzard, amen? Brother Ken, when I was little, I always wanted to look like Bo and Luke. But now I'm afraid I'm more over there with Uncle Jesse and Boss Hogg, amen? I'm afraid I'm changing genres, amen? I was watching old Bo and Luke, and there's running from Roscoe Pico train. Some of y'all are getting more help right now than you've got all week long. There's running from old Roscoe. And Brother Ken, there's one thing I noticed is that if them Duke boys could jump the bridge, if they could jump that construction site, and if they could ever get away from old Roscoe, the next time he saw him, I don't know how things worked in Hazard County, but evidently they didn't serve no warrants and they didn't hold no grudges, because the next time he saw him, he wouldn't arrest them for what he was chasing them for in the first place. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful world to live in? And you know what? The Holy Ghost sat there. Turn me up just a little bit. Holy Ghost sat there on the couch with me and said, you know, there's a whole lot of folks that think getting saved's like Hazard County. They, some of y'all sitting in the church tonight, and you say, if I can just get away from that red-faced preacher, everything will be all right. If I can just get away from them shouting Baptists, everything will be all right. If I can just get away from that youth choir, if I can just get away from the Holy Ghost, if I can just get off this property, I'll be able to shake him and everything will be fine. Hey, look up here. He ain't Roscoe. He's the Holy Ghost. This ain't Hazard County. This is the house of God. And you cannot get away from what God's doing in your heart. I won't say this tonight. You may get away from here, but there's some things that won't leave you when you leave. Well, I better get in the Bible tonight. The Bible says in verse number 28 that he sat and read Isaiah the prophet. Philip comes and sits down in verse 30, and Philip said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? First of all, you can get away from the church, but you cannot get away from the scriptures that will puzzle you. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. He had been at a place, now I know it was an Old Testament Jewish festival, but he had been at a place that got his interest stirred up. And he sits down in his chariot and he begins to read Isaiah chapter 53. Listen now, and he did not understand what he read. I reckon this new crowd would say, well, that's because he had too complicated a version. If he'd just get the Message Bible, he'd understand so clearly what God was trying. Hey, God ain't never tried to say anything. God just says what he means to say. Well, if he'd get him one of these modern translations, it might be able to minister to his heart. No, sir, you look up here at this preacher, God didn't write that Bible for lost people to understand. It ought to be a puzzle. It ought to give more questions than answers. And it ought to leave them troubled in their heart. He said, I've been reading this scripture. And he said, I can't make heads nor tails out of it. But there's one thing about it. That book had him all tore up. I want to say tonight, you ought to thank God that you go to church where your preacher preaches the Bible. I'm going to say that till some of you shout like you mean it. You ought to be thankful you go to church where the preacher preaches out of the Bible. Listen to me, this ain't no place for popular opinion. This ain't no place to play politics. This ain't no place to ride a hobby horse. We better have the Word of God. It is the power of God through the Bible that changes lives. My pastor, Dr. Larry Brown, was lost and undone without God, 21 years old. Worked at a downtown car dealership in Augusta, Georgia. And he said that cold wind would come off the Augusta River and they'd raise those big shop doors and that wind would blow in. They'd drop them back down and work on those cars. He's walking out of the shop on a Friday and there was a fellow that worked there that was one of them sure enough born again Bible believers. See, there's a big difference in going to, there's a big difference in working with somebody that's a Sunday morning Christian and somebody that's sure enough saved by grace. This old boy was sure enough saved. Brother Brown said he was walking out one day and said that fella stopped by his bay and looked at him and said, Larry, said, you see those shop doors going up and down over there? Larry said, yes sir, I do. He said, son, the Bible says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, Larry, one of these days, He's going to take me out of here. Those doors are going to go up and down, but I won't be here to see it. Have a good day. Have a good day. What are you talking about? Doors going up and down. Have a good day. Said he went home that evening and got Miss Diane. Said they dressed up and went out to the nightclub like they always did on Friday night. But he said while he's out there on the dance floor, only thing he could hear was, them doors are going up and down and I won't be here to see them. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Said he left her on the dance floor and went up to the bar and got him something to drink. And said every time he'd throw it back, all he could hear was, them doors is going to keep a going up and down and I won't be here to see them. Got up the next morning on that Saturday. Said he went out there and cranked the lawnmower and said he was cutting that grass. And said sweat dripping off of his head. And said every time he'd turn around, he said only thing he could hear was that old man saying, Larry, one day them doors will be going up and down and I won't be here to see it, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Said they went back out that night and said that verse just running over and over in his head. Said Sunday morning Miss Diane woke up and he's sitting on the edge of the bed with a white button-up shirt on. She said, what in God's name are you doing? He said, I'm going to church. She said, why? We ain't been to church but once, and that was to get married. Why are we going now? He said, because them doors... because them doors down there at that shop, they're going to keep going up and down. And there's an old boy that works with me that said he ain't going to be there. And I got to go figure out where he's going to be when them doors is going up and down. They went to church that morning. That night they got saved by the grace of God. Because the Scripture will puzzle the heart of an unbeliever. I'll tell you what's wrong with this modern seeker-friendly outfit is they're trying to get the Holy Ghost out in order to get sinners in. But I want you to listen to me. You ain't got to compromise. You ain't got to dip yourselves. You ain't got to change your colors. Honey, that Bible got us where we're at. And that Bible will carry us to where God wants us to be. Anybody remember before you got saved and you had just enough Bible to scare you to death? That eunuch sitting up there in his chariot and he can't figure out Isaiah 53, but it's got him puzzled. Look at me. Oh my. If you come down here tonight and you wasn't planning on getting saved, you have just put yourself in an awful, awful predicament. You come down here tonight and you don't have no intentions of giving your life to Jesus. You've just put yourself in a mess. I ain't been a preaching but about 10 minutes, but you've heard enough gospel to save the world. Amen goes right there. You've heard enough preaching that'll save your never dying soul and you'll live with it for all of eternity. You say, if I can just get out of here
and get away from that loud mouth, red-faced country preacher. I'll be all right. Honey, I got news for you. You'll roll over in the bed tonight, and the Holy Ghost will still be a-preaching. You'll be on your way to work tomorrow, and the sovereign Holy Ghost will be a-barking up your tree. The Scripture will not leave you alone. I'm going to go on and say this. You can deny God and die and go to hell, and you'll hear this sermon as the ages roll in that place of judgment. That Scripture never returns void. It's an eternal, incorruptible Word, and it's been sown into your heart tonight. That Scripture won't leave you alone. But watch this. The Scripture puzzled him. But then notice number two. You can leave here, but there's something else that won't leave you alone. I see the Spirit that pressed him. Look in verse 29, before I shout. Then the capital S, feel free to holler glory right there. Then the capital S, Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chair. Look here. This, glory to God. This eunuch didn't know who the Holy Ghost was, but the Holy Ghost knew who he was. And the Holy Ghost not only knew who he was, but the Holy Ghost knew where he was. And the Holy Ghost knew what he was. And he knew what he needed. And the Holy Ghost began to press upon the life of that eunuch. I'm glad this evening that the Holy Ghost of God, honey, once He gets on your trail, you can run up and down every tree you can find. He'll find you. He'll pursue you. He'll press on you. He'll not lose your trail. He knows who you are tonight. You can sit here and put your little tie on. Get your dress down to your ankles and shuffle around here like Mother Teresa and everybody think that you're the best thing since sliced bread. But I got news for you. You can fool that preacher right there. You can pull the wool over my eyes. And even this church may be believing a lie about you. But the Holy Ghost of God, He knows who you are. And He knows what you are. You can lie to the preacher. You can shake off the preacher. But honey, you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. My daddy was born and raised in a drunkard's home. My grandfather was an absolute wreck of a man, destroying his family and everything that he touched because of alcohol. My dad grew up in that. And isn't it amazing that the very thing you hate, you'll become without the help of God? Well, y'all to wake up and elbow somebody and say, I think he's still preaching tonight. The very thing you despise, you'll become it because you can't control or govern your own self. My dad, 18, 17 years old, joined the army. Here's a real piece of genius. He said, I'm going to join the army because I'm tired of people telling me what to do. Aren't we wise at 17 and 18? He's running from God, running from problems. He got stationed in Germany in the early 60s. And here he is trying not to be like his father, but becoming the very thing that he hated, a drunkard at 19, 20 years old. But there was a little church back in Dogwood Valley, Georgia, that was calling his name to God in prayer. My grandmother sent him a care package. And in that care package, she had one of them little red pocket-sized New Testaments with the promises of God. And she said, son, I want you to put this in your locker. And she said, I want you to know that if you ever need the Lord, He's waiting on you. My daddy was living his life, headed full steam and full speed off into hell. But there's just one problem. The Holy Ghost had done taken an interest in him. Got on that ship to come home in 1962. Brother Kenny said down in the galley, down in the bottom of that ship, said where all them soldiers was hanging out, there was a colored fella on that boat that was saved and full of God. And said one night they was all sitting around playing cards and drinking, and said that old colored boy got up and began to testify and brag about the goodness of God. He said them other soldiers began to cuss him and mock him and make fun of him. But my daddy said something down in his heart, said, "Oh Lord," said, "I believe that boy's got what mama and grandma's got." He had watch duty that night up on the top of that ship. Brother Kenny said wind was a-blowing. Said he got tucked up in there in a little corner. Leaned up against the wall on the top of that ship and said, somewhere about daylight, said the hatch opened and said that little black fella come up out of the bottom of that ship. And he had his Bible with him. And he walked out there on the front of that boat and said he was talking to somebody, but there wasn't nobody up there. And said that old colored boy was wiping tears. And said he got throwing them hands up in there on top of that boat. Not knowing and don't know to this day that my daddy was took back in the shadows watching that boy walk with God and the Holy Ghost was a-barking down his trail. He got home and met my mother. And she was a preacher's daughter and in order to date her he had to go to church. Let me just say something, all these up here. Girls, if some knot-headed boy comes a-calling you, you ought to be so in love with Jesus that he's got to go through God to get to where you are. Said he started going to church to be with my mama, his girlfriend at that time. Said dropped her off one night after church. And as I'm leaving her house in Ringo, Georgia, headed back to Tunnel Hill down Highway 41. And Brother Ken, he said the Holy Ghost of God sat down in that car. And my dad didn't know nothing about God and he didn't know nothing about Holy Ghost, but he knew somebody bigger than him was sitting in that vehicle. And said the only thing he thought was that God was going to kill him. He was a drunk and a drunkard's son and said he didn't even know that God would save him. He said the only thing he knew to say was, "Lord, if you'll let me live till Sunday, I'll go to church." Said about that time it was raining, an awful thunderstorm. Said about that time lightning flashed in that sky. And said down there about 200 yards in front of him, that road was washed out and covered over with rainwater. Said he slowed that car down just enough time to ease through there. Said he got home that night and laid in that wrought iron bed and tossed and turned and the Holy Ghost a gripping his heart. Got up the next morning and Grandma told him, said, "Junior, you got some mail in here." Said he's so tore up he couldn't even get his knife in the envelope to open it up. She said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I don't know what's wrong with me." Sunday morning he got up, drove to the Dogwood Valley Baptist Church. And Pastor Roy Gentry, who by the way, that was 40 some odd years ago, still preaching there tonight. Thank God for men of God who'll stick with the stuff. Said he walked in and said, "He's ready." Because back in them days, honey, they didn't have no praise and worship. No casual worship. Didn't have no dance team. They couldn't get hold of God. And said he'd come in that back row and he's braced and ready. And said them old women got up and started singing. Said they got them hankies out. Started waving them hankies around. Shouting. And he said he was sitting on the back row. He knew that them old women was going to shout. Brother Roy got up to preach and back in them days he'd take that hair and about 2 pounds of Vitalis. and slick that hair down like a helmet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And bless God, he wasn't done preaching till he done preached the grease out and is hanging down about right there somewhere. He said he's ready for Brother Roy to preach it down that morning. Said, but right before Brother Roy got up to preach, I may have me a spell here in a second. Said, Brother Roy said, we got Sergeant Junior McNeese here this morning. And said, we want to do something special for this sergeant. Said, I want all you kids to come up here and stand in front of the church. And he said, I want y'all to sing to that sergeant sitting back there on the back row. And about 35 head, little old boys and girls, started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They start singing things like the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And my daddy's sitting on that back row lost and going to hell. But the Holy Ghost had done taken an interest in him. Said Brother Roy preached that morning. And said during the invitation, my daddy said he looked around there and said there's people in that church that his daddy had done wrong and people they'd rented houses from and skipped out on them and left them owing them money. Yeah. Said there's people in there that he couldn't look in the eye because of the way he'd been raised. Said, but the Holy Ghost kept pulling on his heart. And he took one step out of that back aisle and hit the floor on his knees. And they helped him to the altar. And he got saved by the grace of God. Brother Kidd, he said when he got up, said he'd always been the drunkard's son. Said he'd always been ashamed of who he was. And said he just knew that some of them folks in there was going to despise him because of days gone by. Said, but when he got off of that altar, said folks that they'd owed money come up, put their arm around him and told him, welcome to the family of God. I want you to hear me and hear me well tonight. You may get away from the facilities of Liberty Baptist Church. You may get away from the voice of this preacher. You may get away from the fellowship of this body. But the Holy Ghost of God, He knows who you are. And He's not going to leave you alone. That eunuch sitting up here in that carriage, and the Holy Ghost was a-working things behind the scene because the Spirit was pressing upon him. Somebody sitting here tonight, your heart's about to beat out of your chest. You keep looking down to see if everybody else can see what you feel right now. I preached this at our church about 3 Sundays ago. Shook hands after church 20 minutes later. Car come running about 35 down the driveway back. Come in there sideways. 24-year-old girl jumped out and said, preacher, I ain't a-doing it. I ain't a-doing it. I ain't going home lost. I'm tired of being lost. I need to get saved. We knelt down in the parking lot and she got born into the family of God. See, listen. This is not emotion. This is not some show. This is not some gimmick. This is not some game. This is not some spiel we put together to entertain one another. It's the Holy Ghost of God, and you cannot shake Him tonight. Watch this. The Spirit pressed him in verse 29. The Spirit said unto Philip, now watch this. Number three. You can leave the church, but there's some things that won't leave you. Number three. Notice the servant that pursued him. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Look at me right here. I want to say thank God tonight for servants of God. Well, I feel like preaching right here. I want to say thank God for servants of God. who aren't just interested in holding some position down to church. I can do this with you or without you. It don't matter to me. Some folk would rather have their name on the end of a pew than have their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some folk more interested in who's going to be the president of the committee and who's going to be the deacon of the month and whose name's going to be in the bulletin. But I'm here to tell you, that crowd, they can go on and do what they want to do. Thank God for people who are worried about other people and not some position. I can't speak for your preacher tonight, but I'm here tonight on behalf of the Lord as His man. And I'm here to tell you something. If you've got a little me and my four and no more mentality, it won't take the Holy Ghost 2 seconds. He'll weld the hinges on the door shut getting out of here. Praise God. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, but I'm not satisfied because I've got neighbors that'll bust hell wide open. I've got family that'll die and go to hell if somebody don't get a burden for them. Look at me tonight. Look at me tonight. Don't you dry up on me. Look at me tonight. Somebody called your name out in prayer. I said somebody called your name out in prayer. Somebody stood on your doorstep. Somebody rang your phone. Somebody called you. And somebody stuck with you till you got in. Oh, that phrase, join thyself, you know what it means? It means to glue together. You know what the Holy Ghost told him? He said, I want you to go glue yourself to that eunuch until he gets in. Now, I can't make you get saved. Somebody say amen. I can't make you get saved, but I'm sure aggravate you on your way to hell. I can't make you get saved. You can't make your neighbor get saved. But bless God, you can sure give them a fit on their way to hell. Amen. Every Sunday morning, they ought to see you going out to the car with your church clothes on and your Bible in your hand. They ought to know that they live next door to somebody that's got a little more than a job and a 401k. They ought to know that they live by somebody that's got Jesus in their heart. You look at me, the best way to kill a church is for you to get satisfied and happy that you're saved and your family's saved and sit back and fold your arms and say, well, we just gonna be holy and we just gonna learn the Word. I believe in being holy and I believe in learning the Word, but God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and He don't want them to die and go to hell. God told, Holy Ghost told Philip, He said, go get in that boy's chariot and don't get out till he gets in. Well, thank God for some servants who'll get a hold of somebody lost and say, I can't make you get saved, but I can sure give you a fit while you're lost. Got a neighbor lives across the street from me down the dirt road, and stopped by the house the other night, knocked on the door, and I know him just from talking to him here and there. Knocked on the door, and he said, preacher, what are you doing? I said, oh, no. He said, I know you go to the woods about every night. He said, I'd like to go coon hunting with you. This old boy's lost as a ball in high weeds. I said, oh, you'd like to go coon hunting with me? Oh, yes, we can work that out. Amen. I'm going to take the sorriest dog I got. I may go buy me a border collie and turn it out that night. I may get me a Great Dane and turn that one out. Because listen to me, there's a whole lot you can do sitting on the tailgate of a truck waiting on dog to bark somewhere. Oh, I'm going to carry him coon hunting. Oh yeah, we're going to go coon hunting. But I ain't worried about no ringtail. Holy Ghost done put a sinner in my path. I'm going to hook up to Him. And I may not be able to make him get saved, but I can stand by him and I can stick with him until he makes his decision. Oh, my friend. Somebody called your name out to God in prayer. Somebody knocked on your door. Somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody prayed that God would save you and your family. And who in the world are we to tell God that we're too busy? Who in the world are we to tell God that we've got too much going on? Honey, God bring a sinner by your path. You better hook up with them and stay with them and do everything you can to get them in. Miss Amy and I lived in a little old place for a couple of years, and next door neighbors came, moved in. It was a young man, he and his girlfriend, and lived right next door to us. He's a soldier in the Army, decorated war veteran. And we began to talk to him. By the way, you do know it's all right to be friendly to sinners. You ain't got to preach him a 3-point outline every time you see him in the yard. Why don't you show him a little bit about Jesus instead of always telling them something about Jesus? We began to talk to him, befriend him, and have him over the house and speak to him and be kind to him. We had a Sunday at church and invited him to come be our friend at church on that Sunday. And he said, I'll come. He said, but there's one thing you all know. He's a really nice young man. He said, one thing you all know. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, that's all right, because God believes in you.
Amen.
He said, now we'll come. He said, but don't expect nothing out of it. They come and sat back here about 2 rows from the back. And only way I know how to say it is, Holy Ghost of God showed up that morning. And I love to see folks that's never been around Him when He shows up. I'm going to tell you, it don't make me nervous when He shows up. I look back here, that boy, war-decorated veteran, sitting back there, U.S. Army Ranger, in the President's circle of soldiers, and the Holy Ghost was a-stirring, and that boy, he's doing gospel aerobics on the back road. Look kind of like some of y'all do in here tonight. He's looking around. His little old wife sitting over there didn't have enough clothes on to make a Jaybird a good pair of running breeches. But I'm here to tell you something, honey. I didn't get her down there to teach her how to dress. She's lost and on her way to hell. Her hemline was the last of her problems. She needs to get saved by the grace of God. They're sitting back there 2 rows from the back. And old Jeremy was after church, he came over to the house. He said, man, that was wild. Yeah. And next Sunday, they came, sat back there again. And next Sunday, they come back there and sit again. I sat out in the truck with him one day for about 4 hours and talked to him about the Lord. And on that fourth Sunday, him and her both walked the aisle and got saved by the grace of God. We like to break them in right around our place. He'd been saved about a week and a half. And the Lindsay boys were singing up here at Liberty. I told him, I said, ride with me to revival tonight. Brother Dana's supposed to be preaching. We come in the back door. The Honorable Minister Reverend Bowman was 5 rows deep with a baby in one hand and a Bible in the other. And there's about 40 of y'all up, jump, running around, hooping, hollering, screaming. Jeremy looked at me and he said, man, this is wild.
And that young man, his wife, some of the best people in our church. But I won't tell you why they're in. Because somebody said, I can't make them go to heaven, but I sure aggravate them on their way to hell. But I want you to look at them. Let's do something tonight. I want you to be awesome. If it don't apply, you just sit there. But I want to ask you a question. Young people, y'all listening to me? I want to ask you a question. How many of you got one person right now, their name or their face, in your heart that you know is lost and going to hell, and they need to get saved? Raise your hand if you got somebody like that. Hold it up. Hold it up. You young people go to school with folks you know like that? I want you to look around here tonight. I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost is interested in them. Amen. Well, you holler amen right there. Amen. Holy Ghost is interested in them. Amen. That Word of God will work on them. But I tell you what they need. They need a servant who'll get stuck to them and say, I can't make you get saved, but I'm sure help you and tell you what He done for me. And I want to go on and ask you this. What are y'all going to do with them if they get saved? Y'all already sitting on one another's lap. Look like you got a ventriloquist ministry in here, folks sitting on everybody's knee. What are you going to do with it? It's a pretty building. I love this building. But I want to tell you something. If I had to sit out there under them trees to get my best friend saved, I'd say, preacher, bring a Coleman lantern. Let's have it outside. Somebody needs to get stuck. And it don't mean you got to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you got to show up like Billy Graham every time you see them. It just means that somebody better get in their chariot and say, I ain't getting out until you get in. Better get it tonight. Better get somebody down in your soul. And here's the reason why. Somebody got you down in their heart. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody called your name in prayer. Some preacher labored and sweated and prayed and got a word from God so you could get saved. Boy, who in the world are we to sit back now and say, well, I'm in, and I guess that's all that matters. There's somebody tonight who's confused about the Scripture. There's somebody tonight that's being pressed by the Holy Ghost, and they need a Philip to come alongside and say, hey, I don't know it all, but I can tell you what He's done for me. I'm fixing to give it over to the pastor. Here's two things I want to pray about tonight. Somebody here tonight ought to get saved. Somebody tonight ought to give your life to Jesus. You can leave this church, but the Scripture's not going to leave you, and the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you alone. And I pray to God now, there's a servant in this church who won't quit ringing your phone till you get in the family of God. Somebody tonight ought to get saved. And every hand that was raised a while ago ought to find a place somewhere and pile up and say, God, save whoever it is. Because somebody prayed that for us. I want you to stand up with me all over this building.